The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. Email kfr@scalpeledge.com or the website scalpeledge.com. The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Welcome to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. I have been doing a lot of research on the coronavirus. And in full disclosure, I've been using both my background, not only in medicine, not only in research, but also in intelligence. I've alluded to this a few times. I've been a part of the intelligence community for a really long time. And it's really disheartening to see the way our nation is trending and moving today. But as I was doing my research, I've come across a few things that literally, not to use hyperbole, made my blood run cold. I'm seeing or observing a potential pattern emerging that gives me cause for great concern. Back in 1984, the United States started something called a red cell. It was formed after Richard Marchenko, one of the plank founders or one of the founders of SEAL Team 6, plank owners, was asked to demonstrate the vulnerabilities of the military bases. And he and his group of Navy SEALs would regularly use false IDs, barricade buildings, take hostages, kidnap high-ranking personnel to show the vulnerabilities of our bases. In fact, I understand Commander Marchenko did such a good job, I think they put him in jail for a while. But he did what he was asked to. He showed the vulnerabilities that we had, although the higher-ups didn't like it. They finally came to the conclusion that a red cell's probably a good thing. After 9/11, a new red cell team was formed by the CIA to brainstorm ways to attack America in order to come up with security measures to prevent the attacks. And as I've been studying what's going on with this coronavirus, looking at the research and actually digging into the authors of the research and the genesis of this virus, I'm seeing a pattern emerge that gives me great concern. And so in my own mind, I wanted to red cell this. I've been asked to do this before in my line of work. I've always been asked, hey, what do you see? What are the angles? What would you do? And what I'm seeing right now is not only been forecasted, or not only has been forecasted in the 1999 paper, Unrestricted Warfare, but I believe is a potential disaster, the likes of which our nation has never seen. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm briefly going to lay out what I think really could happen. And then you can decide. What I hope you decide is to share this podcast. What I hope you decide is to call your congressmen and senators and tell them to pay attention. What am I talking about? I'm talking about paying attention to the vaccination of our entire military and intelligence services. Right now, my understanding is in September, the order has already been given that we are going to have mandatory vaccinations of our entire armed forces. And as I've been studying the coronavirus, and if you've listened to any of my podcasts, you understand that coronavirus was from gain-of-function testing. Dr. Fauci and the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease did a lot of funding. In fact, our Department of Defense and Homeland Security, as Sheryl Atkinson has reported, has done a lot of funding. But as I've dug through the papers and looked back to 2002, 2003, the original SARS coronavirus research, I guess the way my bizarre brain thinks, or by God's grace, I'm kind of seeing a picture emerging that's very concerning. We have to go back to the beginning, though. We have to go back when SARS coronavirus first hit the scene. When it first hit the scene back in February of 2020, actually it happened a little time earlier. A lot of reports were coming out that the COVID-19 had been out for a while, that people had been infected, and that China had basically not reported on the infections. Of course, when it came out in February, the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said this is almost certainly going to be a pandemic. And the World Health Organization defines a pandemic as a worldwide spread of disease. And the fear started. The only thing is, when the fear started in February, Australia had only reported 12 cases. Cambodia, 1. Canada, 4. Finland, 1. France, 6. Germany, 10. And I could read down the list, but the highest number of cases in any country reported were 15, and that was South Korea, and all of them were reported in Chinese nationals. And most of the cases came from Wuhan. Now, these aren't a massive number of cases, but the groundwork was being laid that this is going to be a pandemic. And the establishment media, especially the U.S. cable channels, while they're not the most reliable sources of information, were pushing fear-mongering at a record rate. The Washington Post stated states scramble to carry out Trump's coronavirus travel order. The Wall Street Journal, coronavirus closes China to the world, straining global economy. Fox News, experts worry about pandemic as coronavirus numbers increase. CNN, Wuhan coronavirus confirmed top 20,000 cases, top 20,000 as China marks the deadliest day. And all this started to be pushed. Now, there were several news outlets and several people early on that were stating this could be the greatest medical fraud in the history of the world. Now, they were also coming out and saying this may be a great boon, they being the mainstream media, for vaccines. It's going to be a boon for Big Pharma. And on February 1st, CNBC reported that investors are rushing into biotechs working on the coronavirus vaccine. And in early February, Natural News reported coronavirus was engineered by scientists in a lab using a documented genetic engineering vectors that leave behind a, quote, fingerprint, adding, the World Health Organization and the CDC are covering up this inconvenient fact. Law professor Francis Boyle drafted the U.S. Biological Weapons and Anti-Terrorism Act in 1989. And Boyle believed at that time the potentially deadly coronavirus is a biowarfare weapon genetically modified for this purpose. Boyle explained China's Wuhan BSL-4 lab is a World Health Organization designated research lab. But he was very concerned about what was going on in that lab and who was working in that lab. Boyle had good reason for his concern, because he understood that in 2003, the media spread fear-mongering about SARS pandemic, and it proved way overblown, and only 800 deaths were reported after that hysteria. In that same year, 42,000 plus people were killed in the U.S. To provide perspective, 42,000 people were killed in vehicle accidents, and almost 3 million were injured in motor vehicle accidents. In 2009, the World Health Organization falsely predicted a global swine flu H1N1 pandemic that could affect as many as, quote, 2 billion people over the next 2 years. And at that time, evidence suggested that H1N1 strain was bioengineered in a U.S. laboratory and vaccines produced for it extremely hazardous and potentially lethal. But no national or global emergency existed. No pandemic or epidemic occurred. And the CDC estimated that from 8,000 to 17,000 deaths resulted from the strain. But the fear-mongering at the time was aimed to convince people to take experimental, untested, toxic, and extremely dangerous vaccines that can damage the human immune system and cause health problems ranging from just annoying to life-threatening. And we're seeing a similar scenario play out today. The difference is the scenario is much more advanced because, as in earlier potential pandemics, the social media outlets were not on board with pushing a narrative, and they weren't that developed. The cable news channels still reported on the news at times, and there wasn't a coordinated effort that could be pushed to push a pandemic and promote a vaccine. So where am I going with all this? I'm going to include a lot of links in our show notes, and they are solid. I've done a lot of research on this. I'm actually going to submit to you the papers on these links. But I want to play out a red cell scenario for you, because what we're seeing right now is a massive push to vaccinate our entire country and the world. We're seeing a massive push to take an experimental gene therapy vaccine for a virus that has a 99.9% survival rate, and where, without question, early therapeutics have been shown to treat this COVID-19 virus. But we have a mainstream media, a Hollywood elite, a sports elite, and of course the academic elite that say we have to get vaccinated. If we don't get vaccinated, people will die. Well, I would put to you, if we do get vaccinated, could that put our entire nation at risk? Again, this is a red cell exercise. This is a scenario looking at something that could potentially happen. But I'm going to tell you, everything that I'm going to bring to you today is true. It doesn't mean that it was done this way. It doesn't mean that this will happen, but it is definitely a possibility. And if it did happen, it could end our nation as we know it. To understand this further, you just need to look at the multiple articles on the people that worked in the Wuhan virology lab. Professor Wu Chun Cao, PhD. He works at the State Key Laboratory of Pathogen and Biosecurity in Beijing, and he's done a lot of work in Wuhan. He's done a lot of work with Xing Li, the Bat Lady. He's published papers with Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance. But Professor Cao is also a colonel in the Chinese Army, and he's the number two person for bioweapons in the bioweapons division in China. And that's multiple open sources. Another gentleman who's out there is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Xinbo Zhang. And he's just listed as a professor and director at the Institute of Medical Biology. He obtained his MS and MD degrees at the first and fourth medical university of the People's Liberation Army. And this guy has military links that go back a long way. And as recently as November 3rd, in an article published with Peter J. Hotz of Baylor College of Medicine, Shibo Zhang indicated his professional address is not China's Fudan University, but Lindsay F. Kimball Research Institute. Now, I don't want to lose you here, but please listen to this. Shibo Zhang published with Peter J. Hotz. Peter J. Hotz of Baylor College of Medicine has been promoting vaccines almost at a psychotic rate. He's rabid when he talks. He's very aggressive. He attacks people. And he published with Shibo Zhang. And I want you to remember this, because this Shibo Zhang, Dr. Zhang, has been involved in numerous experiments for the past almost 20 years in SARS coronavirus. And if you look at these experiments and you look at these papers and you look at the co-authors, a picture emerges of multiple members of the Chinese military scientists working to develop a gain-of-function testing to build a virus. That's what COVID-19 is. That's why everyone is so enthralled with understanding why and how this virus got here in the first place. But there's more to the story, I believe, or could be, because it's clearly documented how the virus was made. It's clearly documented about COVID-19's unique furin polybasic cleavage site. And I know that's a lot of words that you probably don't understand, but based on the available scientific evidence, SARS-CoV-2 was the product of gain-of-function research and not natural transmission from animal host to humans. And it doesn't matter what CNN's telling you, because the actual science tells us this is gain-of-function research. And there are only two reasons for gain-of-function research. One is to understand the structural features and actions of a virus in order to create a vaccine to anticipate a potential new disease outbreak. And I'm sure when the Department of Defense was funding this research, and when Dr. Anthony Fauci was funding this research, that they thought they were doing that. Maybe, maybe not. But the second, and I believe the Chinese understand this really well, was to create a biological weapon. I mean, the Chinese told us that they would do this because two Chinese colonels wrote a book called Unrestricted Warfare about warfare in the age of globalization. And this was back in 1999. Their main argument, warfare in the modern world will no longer be primarily a struggle defined by military means or even involve the military at all. And I believe they're just about a decade and a half before their time, because Colonel Hao Ling and Wang Zhengshu argued that war was no longer about using armed forces to compel the enemy to submit to one's will. In the classic Clausewitzian sense, rather, they asserted that war had evolved to using all means, including armed force or non-armed force, military or non-military, lethal or non-lethal means to compel the enemy to accept, listen to this, one's interest. They said the new number of battlefields would be virtually infinite and could include environmental warfare, financial warfare, trade warfare, cultural warfare, legal warfare, just to name a few. They also talked about biological warfare and how viruses could be used to submit a nation. This was 1999. These were Chinese military officers in the same military, under the same ideology, today that Chinese military officers are working at a BSL-4 lab. In this book, they also wrote about safeguarding their nation's financial security by setting up slush funds to influence opponents' legislatures and governments, and buying controlling shares of stocks to convert an adversary's major television and newspaper outlets into tools of media warfare. Are we seeing that today? I want to give you the background for this red cell scenario, because it's not a one-off. It's not just a pie in the sky. It's something that was actually spoken about and I believe could be happening as I'm speaking now. But I'm not to the tip of the spear yet, or the moral of this story yet. Because as Paul Harvey says, now, the rest of the story. Because with these military scientists, these officers in the bioweapons department of the Chinese military, working with U.S. funds and gain-of-function testing, they've also been working on creating viruses. Decades ago, vaccines developed against another coronavirus, a feline infectious peritonitis virus, actually was shown to increase the cat's risk of developing disease caused by the virus. Let me say this simply. There was a coronavirus vaccine developed, and when it was given to an animal, it actually increased the risk of developing said disease. The reason I point that out is because some of the authors on that paper were the same people now working on coronavirus vaccine research for China today. And that paper was written decades ago. And in March, and I want you to follow my logic here, 16th, 2020, Xinbo Zhang, the same Xinbo Zhang that's working with Dr. Horitz of Baylor College of Medicine, promoting vaccines, he wrote an article in Nature. And he says, don't rush to deploy COVID-19 vaccines and drugs without sufficient safety guarantees. And I'm going to post this article in our show notes because he says, around the world, I'm seeing efforts to support a quick fix program aimed at developing vaccines and therapeutics. And he goes on to say, it takes a long time to develop safe vaccines. And he talks about vaccine development against coronavirus that I just mentioned and how it actually caused the virus. He also talks about other studies for coronavirus that causes SARS seen in animals where vaccines caused more problems. So he says regulators must continue to require vaccine developers to check for potentially harmful responses in animal studies and in people. Yet, as he wrote this article, he was involved in those same said studies. And he has written something in Nature, which is the opposite of what he's actually saying. But it would create a sort of smoke and mirrors to go back and point at that says these viruses or vaccines are potentially very dangerous. I don't know, maybe an unrestricted warfare would allow for a little obfuscation if the vaccines are really dangerous and we wouldn't necessarily look at China as the responsible partner. But this doctor is on multiple papers, is involved in the up-to-date research and production of all of this. And there are multiple news reports out there that are very concerning, pointing out from different sources, unrelated, that this doctor from China, Xinbo Zhang, a part of the Chinese military, may be involved in, they don't say the words, but I will, unrestricted warfare. And it's concerning. But most people are looking at it as developing a virus that can hurt our population. And the rest of the story is, what if the vaccine is the weapon and not the virus? I'm going to tell you my red cell scenario. You create a virus and by their own admission and unrestricted warfare, fund and buy news outlets, pop culture influencers, politicians, everyone to follow their narrative to say this virus is so bad, we've got to protect this country and the world from it. And when they do that, you rush a vaccine. Now, it's a vaccine that is gene therapy. It's not a vaccine of an attenuated virus that historically has been used for vaccines and vaccine making, that's standard. No, it's a genetic modification. It's a messenger RNA sequence. Now, where did the vaccine makers get their messenger RNA sequences? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me help you. They were computer generated. A lot of them from research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So you have a Chinese influenced or generated messenger RNA sequence given to, because they have the most coronavirus cases, given to these vaccine makers along with grants, dark money to promote and push vaccines. And then I look at the environment we're in now. Why are we pushing a vaccine for a disease that has a 99.9% survivability rate across the entire spectrum? Why are we pushing a vaccine for that? Why are we mandating vaccines, which we've never done before? Why is everyone so concerned and throwing out all the hyperbole that you're killing people? We have an exaggerated response to push vaccines against a disease that we're looking at case numbers, not fatality rate. And the fatality rate is at its lowest point ever. We're seeing a lot of cases from variants. We're not seeing a lot of deaths. So why are we pushing a vaccine when you have treatable therapeutics available? I think that begs to ask the question, why? Why are so many people taking the vaccine now and it's being shown not to be effective? Just look at Israel, where over 90% of the population by report is vaccinated, yet they're having a mass resurgence of these variants, means the vaccine's not working. We know there's been a lot of deaths from the vaccine just by the CDC's own information on a voluntary reporting system. More deaths than we've seen with every other vaccine in the history of the world. So we have a vaccine for a disease. I'm going to recap here. A vaccine for a disease that is survivable by 99% of the population, being forced or coercion being used for people to take it when it makes no sense, not paying attention to the therapeutics that actually can cure this problem, this disease, this virus that people have been using. Myself personally, in my clinic system, we've treated thousands of patients with 100% success rate. And then we have Chinese military scientists in a nation that wrote the book literally on unrestricted warfare, bribing officials, using viruses to control a nation. And oh, by the way, they've also written papers on how the vaccine can actually cause the virus. Now, a messenger RNA sequence in this vaccine, for those of you that aren't in the scientific or medical community, I'll be real simple. It's a messenger RNA sequence, and you know where it comes from, in the vaccine. It's designed that your cells take up this genetic code like a computer code, and then your cells will produce a spike protein based on that messenger RNA sequence. And then that spike protein is supposed to induce antibodies against the, quote, SARS coronavirus. Now, my red cell question, my question to you is, what if it produces a spike protein that either causes the virus or makes you susceptible if another virus is put into the population? Then you would potentially be creating time bombs that would be sensitive to a gain-of-function created virus that could affect millions of people. And as I started the show, if we mandatorily vaccinate our military, intelligence communities, and government workers, and critical infrastructure people, if we vaccinate all of them, and said trigger for vaccine is released or is put out in the population, you could wipe out our entire military without firing a shot. And while that may or may not be probable, it is unquestionably possible. I'm going to talk more about this lately. I'm actually writing an article for this right now. But I think it bears looking at. I can tell you the scientific evidence is there. I can tell you the development and the manipulation of the spike protein is there. I can tell you the vaccine manufacturing and the way they're doing the vaccines is there. All of this for a virus that's 99.9% survivable. So is the Chinese military and the Chinese scientists, through coercion, bribery of our leaders and influencers, are they pushing a vaccine that could literally collapse our entire military structure? Pilots we spent years and millions of dollars training, special operations folks that we spent years and millions of dollars training, intelligence assets around the world, that all of a sudden, if they get a certain virus because they have that spike protein that was generated in their cells by that messenger RNA code, is there a global trigger out there that would just collapse them physically or incapacitate them or, God forbid, kill them? And why would we put our national security at that risk? You don't have to listen to me. Just go back and read 1999's Unrestricted Warfare by two senior officers in the Chinese military. I hope this has been good food for thought. I pray you have a great week. We're going to have some more conversations. Please spread this around. This is not conspiracy theory. This is a possibility that exists, and it may not be probable, but it should make people think. It should make people pay attention, because it puts our nation at risk to vaccinate a healthy military to a disease that is not fatal in 99.9% of the population. Go out and have the great rest of your day and pay attention. And most importantly, we have to keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Line, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey your secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA, standing on the edge of a revolution.
Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.